50 means Pentecost. Whether it's 50 days or 50 years, but 50 years brought in the trumpet blew the year of Jubilee. Anybody that was in debt is no longer in debt. Anybody that lost their property, they could go back home to their property and they got it back again. It wasn't, I bought it, sorry. No, no. God said, this is the way it is. The year of Jubilee, if you're in prison, you're set free. If you lost your farm, you can go back to it and get it again. And the whole economy was set according to the year of Jubilee because it was sold when you went in debt and you had to sell it. You sold it according to the number of years until the year of Jubilee for how many crops you're going to be able to get. That's what your farm was worth. If it was 48 years till Jubilee, it was worth a lot more than if it was worth, than it was only 2 years to the year of Jubilee. You understand? So that kept the economy on an even keel. But the thing is, if you are today, Pentecost, if you are addicted to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to whatever, any kind of addiction, anger, unbelief, Jesus is here to set you free. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the day of Pentecost when we're celebrating. Hallelujah. It's 50 days since we observed the Passover, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Today, praise God, we don't have to wait 50 years. We can celebrate it today. You don't even have to wait for the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost is here, and we can receive all that God has for us today. We carry these burdens, and we don't know what to do with them. But God, the Holy Spirit, is here to release us, to give us peace, that we don't have to worry. Just keep following Him, and He'll take care of it all. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. What really happened on that day of Pentecost? Luke chapter 24. Jesus was talking here after he had risen from the dead. He's talking to his disciples. And he says to them this. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Stay in the city until you receive the power from on high, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1. Jesus is ready to ascend, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he's gathering them together. Verse 4, he says, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, a lot of us want to go. Matthew says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew, he says, go. And many times we want to go, but we're not equipped to go. We don't have the tools. That's like somebody sending a ball player out in the field to play shortstop and he doesn't have a glove. He better be pretty good if he can catch all those ground balls barehanded. We got to have the equipment, the power, the tools that God wants us to have in order to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That comes after we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Before that, we have nothing to say. So then, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, that's what we're celebrating today, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can you imagine if all of a sudden we heard this awesome noise as we're all gathered here? There would be a roar. You start looking around. What is going on? What is happening? There's a roar, like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them tongues, cloven tongues. Many translations don't have cloven in it. Cloven means there's two different kinds. It means a split hoof. Two. And a lot of people don't understand this. One, for your prayer life. When you pray in tongues, in your prayer life, it builds you up. It edifies you. It strengthens you. It gives you the courage to do whatever God's asking you to do. We have to be built up. I like it, like to compare it to a car battery. If the battery's dead, you aren't going to start the car. You got to get somebody else that has a battery that's charged up, and you jump it. Then you get it going. So it is with us. We need to be charged up. And that comes by praying in tongues. The other one, the other kind, is in a setting like we often hear here, Sunday mornings, there's a message in tongues, and then there's the interpretation of tongues, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to hear a little bit more about the gifts of the Spirit then. But cloven tongues of fire rested on each one. Not just some of them, not just some people that have a special calling on their life, but on everyone. There was 120 in that upper room, they said, that day. So they all spoke in tongues. And I cannot figure out how people can walk out after they've heard and they read it and say, well, it's not for me. It is for everyone. They all spoke in tongues. I can just imagine. No, I can't imagine that any of those would have gone out of there and say, well, some will and some won't. The only reason you won't is because you don't want it. I'll get to that a little later. Tuck that in someplace. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together when they heard this sound. And there were people, this was the day of Pentecost. This was a time of celebration. So there was people in Jerusalem from all over, different countries. And they had come for the feast. This was the feast time, festival time that they had. And so when this noise, when they heard this roar coming from the upper room, they all came together to find out what in the world is going on. And then they began to hearing them speak in tongues, and they were hearing them in their own language. And I wonder today yet, was the miracle in the speaking or was it in their hearing? Because when everybody's speaking in tongues, can you imagine if we all started saying something out loud? How would you know who was saying what? But they were all hearing them in their own tongue. God was doing a miracle here. And they were all amazed and didn't know what was going on. And they said, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we each hear them, this is verse 8, hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, etc. Then he goes on to say in verse 12, and they all continued in amazement with great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? They were in awe. But others, so there's two groups. There's always two groups. The others were saying, they were mocking and saying, these guys are drunk. They've had too much to drink. They've had too much sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who are here in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, and we had that in the beginning, what he prophesied. In the last days, God's going to pour forth of his spirit. Church, we're in the last days. We're in the last days. This is what we know and talk about as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's three baptisms. Some of you might have received the first one. Some might have received the second one. Some, maybe the third one. But God wants every one of us to receive not just one, not just two, but three. And I'm going to explain them to you to the best of my ability with the help of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, the first baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first baptism is the baptism of. That little word of makes all the difference in the world. Of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent. Here it's in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, by one Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That is what happens when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. And that's where a lot of people stop. Because they think, well, I'm saved now. Well, that you are baptized into his body. We are all members of the body of Christ. So that's the first one. The agent here, remember, the agent. There's three different agents. The agent is the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into the body of Christ. The second one is baptism in water. The agent is man. Whether it's Philip, whether it's John the Baptist, or one of the disciples, it says that Jesus baptized more than many, but he didn't. It was his disciples who baptized. So man is the agent here. And when I was mowing lawn Friday afternoon, God began to clarify something to me. Water baptism is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, when you go through the waters of baptism, signifying the death of the old man, you're buried with Christ. Christ was buried. He was dead. They put him in the tomb, and he was there for 3 days, and he rose again. So this covenant, this circumcision, there was a circumcision done back in Genesis with Abraham, if you recall, chapter 17. I'm going to begin with verse 10. This is my covenant. So not only now are we baptized in water, but there's a covenant. There's a covenant that he makes with us in the waters of baptism. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. So this baptism by water is symbolic to the covenant that God made with Abraham. That's what happens in the waters of baptism. The third baptism is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, not of, but in the Holy Spirit. And here the agent is Jesus Christ. He's the agent in this. This is recorded in all four Gospels. It says that John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So this is recorded in every Gospel. It also, God also spoke to me as I'm mowing. This is the seal. This is the baptism that seals you. You know, if I buy a piece of property and somebody gives me a deed, it's a piece of paper. That's the deed. But if there's no seal on that, it doesn't mean it's official. That seal says it's official. And God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 22, says that, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anoints us in God is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So we have been sealed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole lot of people that have never been sealed. We've been baptized in the body of Christ. We're saved. We're baptized in water. We've had the covenant of circumcision. And now God wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and seal us. And that's when you know that I know that I'm a child of God. It begins to remove all the fears and the doubts. The people that accept Christ, but they never go on in their walk with God. The people that go through water baptism, they don't go on, many of them. And I also understand that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, even after you're sealed, there's people, when the fire comes, they begin to shrink back. I was there. I did that. I didn't know that I wanted to go on. I had thoughts that I wished I had never heard or experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what it did, when you're sealed, I couldn't go back. I couldn't go back. Remember the children of Israel? They always wanted to go back. But you don't hear that anymore after they got into the promised land. Now they drove out the enemy. This is their land. And I want to tell you something. It not only is their land back then, but it is their land today. They will die for what God said to them. And God's looking for a people that are not wishy-washy, but they will take a stand and they're willing to die for Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to be sealed so that we know we can't go back. This is who I am. This is who you are. And like I said, I had never thought, I had this sermon all together. And while I was mowing, God spoke to me about the covenant. And then he said, and then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I got excited. I had to write it in the margin of my notes so I wouldn't forget it. And I'm going to use that some more because that works in a marriage too. When I preach on the marriage someday, it's all there. He showed it all to me. That's what the Holy Spirit is for, to speak to us, to teach us, to give us truth so we stand on truth. Marriages go through a lot of rocky places, but I'm telling you, I've been through a lot with her. Oh, I mean, she's been through a lot with me. I got that twisted there. We've been through a lot together over 50 years. But I want to tell you something. She's the one. God, the Holy Spirit, He baptizes us Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit so that we might have power to be His witness. Now we're ready to go. We weren't ready to go. That's why He said, wait. Wait until you receive the promise. Because He knows you're not ready. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the power now to go and to be His witnesses wherever. Not only in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but the uttermost part of the world. Not only in Canton, Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, the United States of America, but anywhere around the world where God sends you, you have the power to be His witnesses. And you don't have to worry about what you're going to say in that hour or that moment because He's going to fill your mouth with it. See, we're worried sometimes, I can't say. No, you start reading the Word and the Holy Ghost is going to begin to put it together for you. And He's going to tell you what He wants you to say. You might be surprised what He's going to tell you to say. Church, He wants to seal every one of us. That there's a boldness, there's an assurance in our hearts. And I know that God said this church is going to be filled. You know why it's going to be filled? Because when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to go. And we're not here to take people from other churches. We want to talk to the lost. We want to talk to